Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Gary. Lively tune got us all awake and ready to hear Les and Sara Lee, and we are blessed today to have Les and Sara Lee Tilka here, missionaries we have supported in our church, friends of our church for a long time, and I'm going to have them come up in just a minute, but before they do, I wanted just to share one little section of the scripture with you. You know, last week we had a pretty in-depth teaching on what's going on in Israel and past, present, and future and what's going to be happening. And this morning I came across another promise that God makes about Israel, which I wanted to share with you. It's from Jeremiah chapter 31, and I'll just read it to you. It says, "Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then shall the offspring of Israel cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens can be measured and the foundations of the earth can be explored, then I will cast off all of the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, declares the Lord." In other words, you can't measure the heavens, so I'm not going to cast off my people. Just another promise that God has made about his people and his country. So we continue to see all the turmoil that's going on over there, but we have promises in the Bible that God is not going to forsake his people. So I just wanted to share that with you since it came up in my reading this morning. Now, excited once again to have Les and Sara Lee. I don't know, are you both coming up first or she's coming up first? Okay, well, work your way up here, Sara Lee. Our church has been partnering with them in the Philippines for, I don't know, how many years now? That long, okay. And it's exciting. I've actually been over there to see their ministry over there at the Quest Church. And now I think they're more involved in the sponsorship of the children. And I'll let y'all get more into that. But let me introduce Sara Lee Tilka for you. Come on up, Sara.
Hello.
You might need to press that button.
This one?
Yeah, try that. See what happens. I believe that's it.
Hello. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. And my name is Sara Lee Tilka, and I was born and grew up in the Philippines. And in 1986, I came to America to come to college, to Liberty University. And that's where I met my handsome husband, Les. So we were both in the same school and very much interested in missions. And I was in a singing group. And so to make a long story short, we got married, lived in Jacksonville, Florida, and 4 years later, we dedicated our lives to go to the mission field, which is the Philippines. And we never thought we'd stay there for a long time, but our kids were born there, and Les will explain that later about our life here in America now. But I was just thinking, I'm going to share a song before Les comes, and it's a very familiar song, and we sang that this morning, Goodness of God. But I was thinking, it's great to talk about the goodness of God when good things are happening in our lives, when things are just doing great, but when things aren't, and I'm sure all of us can relate, we go through pain and suffering in this life. When things are not going so well, it's hard for us to sing about the goodness of God, right? And and 4 months ago, I lost my sister to cancer. And then several years ago, I lost my parents to cancer. And then my husband's dad passed away. And, you know, I saw my sister suffer through cancer, and I was there when she died. And, you know, during those times, and I miss her very much, but during those times, I can't sing of the goodness of God. And actually, this is my sister's favorite song. And so, yeah, so I'm going to attempt and sing it this morning, and we hope that you're going to be blessed by this song, because God is still good to us. Give us a few minutes. For your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have seen of the goodness of God. Oh, all my life you have been faithful. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running. My life.
Thank you. you know, she talked about having a difficult time, you know, focusing on the goodness of God when things weren't so good. Made me think of my best friend, actually, that passed away in 2021. And one of his favorite sermons to preach, or at least the favorite one that I liked, as he said, you know, aren't the promises of God good? He said, I love that one where it says that in life you will have tribulation, you know, and so he would go on that. And so, but it is such a joy to be back and even to see some new faces and some familiar faces. And, you know, we don't take for granted the partnership that we've had over the years, both in prayer and just encouraging us. You know, it seems like it was just the other day that the Stouts and Pastor Kurt were over there. And so I kind of wanted to, you know, brush over a few things or go over them quickly, I guess, because, you know, I'm not sure who has heard what about our story. But more than a few years ago, I mean, it was actually back when Sarah Lee and I were in our late 20s, we really felt like, you know, as she said, that God was impressing on our heart to go into full-time missions. And I'll never forget, because we were both working secular jobs that time. Both had graduated from college. My parents and friends thought we were crazy. And so they would ask us all these questions. And we tried to sound spiritual and pretend like we had an answer, although we didn't have an answer for all of them. But the one question I remember that that always kind of made me laugh inside was, are you going for the rest of your life? And so I guess aside from English, sarcasm was the first other language that I learned. And so I would say back to them, well, do you know what you're doing for the rest of your life? You know, and so at that point, it kind of also made it clear to Sarah Lee and I that, wow, how long is this for? And so we said, you know, we'll give it a few years just to kind of let the excitement die down, let reality settle in, and then, you know, reevaluate if we need to, if this is what God wants us to do long term. And I don't ever remember Sarah Lee and I coming to that day of reevaluating, because it all just seemed so right. We stayed there for 29 years. Our kids were born there. Some of our best friends in the world are there. Our best experiences in life are there. But, you know, and we knew that if God ever wanted to move us on, that he was going to make that clear too. And so, and we could never see ourselves coming back to the States. We had always said, you know, I could see us going anywhere in the world except back to America. And as circumstances happened and my parents started aging and our kids came to the States, went to college and started getting married and having grandkids, and we didn't know how that was going to feel, and it feels great. And so just like everybody told us. And so we in 2021, you know, we had come through, well, the Philippines had, that we were still in the middle of COVID. The Philippines had a very extended shutdown during COVID, and God showed us a lot of ways to still be creative and to minister, even though we couldn't gather as a church. And so we kind of weathered that storm, but we just knew that this was the time that we needed to come back and be close to mom and dad. And then we went through, wow, you know, it's been 29 years since we've lived in the States. I mean, when we left, we didn't have a whole lot of ties. We didn't have children yet. We weren't really established in a career. We had never owned a house. So we were like, okay, that's all got to come together. Those are things that we've got to trust God for. And so mom and dad were living up in Elk Park, and we had been in 29 years in a city of 3 million people, which was, you know, culture shock initially. And just knew that to go from a city of 3 million people to Elk Park was going to be culture shock all over again. And so so we decided to locate closer to our kids down outside of Atlanta. Dawsonville, Georgia, birthplace of moonshine and NASCAR, evidently. And so that's what they're famous for. But and so we convinced Mom and Dad to move down there a couple years ago. And as Sarah Lee said, Dad has gone to heaven earlier this year. Mom's well. But aside from our ministry in the Philippines, which still continues because we established a base of Filipino staff over the years that we still support and still check on. And our goal is to make, as long as Mom's still alive, to make a few trips a year over there. And so Sarah Lee made one in July. I just got back from one a couple weeks ago. And so, and that's, you know, that's the tangible expression of your support, of where it goes. It goes to support our Filipino staff and to continue on with the ministry there. Aside from that, kind of to keep ourselves busy, we've gotten involved in Samaritan's Purse as international chaplains and working with the Cambodia office as well as on their international disaster deployments. And so we've done a little bit of that as well. But, you know, when I returned to the Philippines, I guess it was late September, the last couple days of September, you know, Pastor Ruben was there. He's been with us. He, you know, we gave him an award when I was there because he's been the longest staff member next to Sarah Lee and I. And so doing prison ministry and, you know, COVID shut down prison ministry over there, and they still have been very slow to allow religious groups to come back in. And so he decided, you know, that, hey, there's all these inmates that have been released. And so they kind of have built a community around his church, and he has about 80 families that he ministers to that had been in jail, or their families had been in jail, and so he's got a tremendous ministry with them. The church, as Pastor Kurt mentioned, that we started Quest Fellowship, you know, has had its challenges, like a lot of churches had trouble bouncing back from COVID, and then with us leaving and trying to find a point leader. And that's probably our biggest prayer, is finding a Filipino pastor to fill that leadership void, so that we can focus more on the nonprofit side of our ministry. But, you know, when we went back, we were blessed because, you know, we've got a group of staff that make things happen. And every Sunday it kind of goes off without a hitch, and it's great, and they're growing, and you know, everybody's kind of like, well, who's in charge? And, you know, nobody cares who's in charge. And they're just, you know, but they need that. And so we're praying for that. One of the most rewarding things that we've done over the years is, you know, I love young people. I mean, that always energized me, even up until the day we left the Philippines. And even when I go back, And is to help them with their education, especially with their college education, because, you know, education through high school can be free, but beyond that is really out of reach financially for so many young people. And so we had this incredible group of young people in our church that have tremendous potential and a great heart for God. But yet their family didn't have the means. And so we started a scholarship fund. And right now, we keep adding a couple kids each year to it. We have, 10 students right now that we give a full scholarship to. We want to make sure that there's no financial burden on their family whatsoever. And, you know, it's a little bit less than it is in America. It's about $250 a month. I mean, it's $3,000 you can send a kid to college. So we've got kids going to school for nursing and criminology and education and engineering. And so, and just, you know, it's exciting. We had a banquet a couple trips ago where all the kids that we had been a part of sending through college or sending to college through the years was there, and it was just so awesome to hear their stories and how they're in their careers and they're working for, you know, nonprofit organizations focusing on human trafficking, and they're working as psychologists and Christian counselors, and you're just like, wow, that's pretty cool, you know, as our brother said, to be a part of that. And so a big focus of this last trip, and this is something that we had done for a while, and honestly, when I when Sarah Lee and I decided to start a church, I kind of let the locals lead it and didn't get in, as involved in it. But we've had a child sponsorship ministry for a number of years, and you know ones that are very similar to it, World Vision, Compassion, things like that. Ours is with an organization called World Help, and we knew the founder of that because he was our vice president during Bible school. And so, you know, we have over 1,000 kids in the Philippines that we provide sponsorship for that goes to help offset, you know, their educational needs as far as uniforms and school supplies and other things. It provides medical assistance. It provides dental assistance. There's a discipleship element to it, because in every one of our sponsorship sites, we partner with local churches because we want to strengthen the credibility of the local Filipino church in their area. And so we come in and provide them with the funds and the leadership to sponsor a group of kids in their area. And so we've done this. In some ways it's been random. We've partnered with churches across Cebu Island where we lived, and I got to know all those pastors because they lived nearby. But for about the past 15 years, we had partnered with a group of churches in an island called Palawan. And Palawan is probably one of the most remote islands of the Philippines. It's all the way to the west, facing, I guess, Indonesia and Singapore. Very untouched, and several tribal groups that were over there. And so, you know, they've got some areas that have the most beautiful beaches that you'd see on a postcard, but then they have the densest jungles and rainforest. And so we've got three church partners over there that I had been promising for years, and so they finally got me to go visit them. And so we went over, and I say we, it was Sarah Lee wasn't with me, but we had a group of about 15 from Cebu that went. And probably the most physically demanding trip that I've ever taken. We hiked probably 25 miles up some pretty severe terrain, crossed, I guess, in total about 40 rivers that we had to wade across. And so, but it was a trip that I'll never forget. You know, the water on me, you know, Sarah Lee would ask me every time I could get a cell signal, which wasn't very often, and I would tell her, how deep was the river? And I said, well, it was up to my torso, but it was up to the Filipinos' necks. And so, you know, and so we, you know, had to through all that. And so they put all of our backpacks on the back of a water buffalo and sent them on up ahead of us. But the first village we went to was a village called Bintat. And Bintat is home to the Palawendo tribe. About only 5% of them are educated, and that's actually a high number in terms of the tribal groups and their level of education. Their ancestors convinced them that to sit in a classroom and just listen to somebody talk, as opposed to going out and you know, working or gathering food, is just going to make you stupid. And so They're not encouraged to do education. And this one partner had decided to make that his focus. He's got, you know, you walk up, and then all of a sudden there's this big meadow, and he's got a school there of about 80 kids. And that's where part of our sponsorship funds go, is to see those kids get through school. And just seeing them and knowing that this is going to change a whole generation. I mean, these kids are going to become doctors. These kids are going to become teachers. Some of them are going to come back and work in their village. We went to this next village, which was quite a hike. It was called Manti, and there's about it was about 4 hours to get to. There was another school up there with about 40 kids. And one of the things that surprised me is a lot of the people, we would ask them how old they were, and they didn't know because they didn't have concept of years. And so, but the school is teaching them Christian values, you know, biblical values, with a lot of resistance because there's a strong animism and spirit worship and ancestor worship in a lot of those villages. I met a girl named Anya, and Anya was sweet. Anya was probably 23, and she told me her story. She said, you know, I was 8 years old when I started into the sponsorship program, and it was through that I was able to go to school. And my family disowned me because it was a Christian school, and so I ended up living with the pastor and his family, and they kind of took me in. And she said, I don't know if you remember, but I wanted to become a midwife, and so you sponsored me to become a midwife. And so now she has come back into that community, and she is the medical professional in that village. She delivers babies, she does pediatrics, she does adults. And of course, with the opposition of the witch doctor who thinks he knows better. And so, but Anya's a brave young lady to go out there and do things like that. And so, you know, we walked into the classroom of kids up there, and I couldn't help but think of other Anyas that are going to be coming out of this group of kids in our program. And then we proceeded to the north. We went to a village called Tagnipa, which was another tribe. It was actually about an 8-hour van ride, but then fortunately a short hike. It's home to the Batak tribe, and Mr. Ricky and his family have been there for over 15 years. And one of the ways, you know, because we asked these pastors before we went, what is something that we can do during our visit that will, you know, help you go further, faster, help your credibility be strengthened? And he said, you know what? I'd like to have a wedding. He said, you know, a lot of the kids in our sponsorship program, their parents are starting to come to church, and a lot of them have either never been married or they've just had a tribal wedding, and so they don't have any official papers. And I said, oh, sure. I've got a license to officiate weddings in the Philippines. I'd be glad to do that. Well, between him and our staff, they came up with this grand scheme, and I did my first mass wedding of 27 couples in one ceremony. And so, you know, our sponsorship funded all the paperwork to get everything legal, so that they'll have those legal documents that they're going to need when their kids go to school. And so it was a big blessing to them. And there were, it was quite a spectacle because people came from all over to just kind of stand in the bushes and watch what we were doing, with that wedding. So, you know, it was just a great testimony for them, something that they'll be talking about for years to come, we'll be talking about for years to come. And before I left Tagnipa, they said, I want to introduce you to a little girl named Mirasol. And I remembered that I had heard Mirasol's story because last December there was a pretty severe typhoon that came through that area. And so Mirasol and her family lived in just a thatched hut, and they were told to evacuate to the elementary school that had a stronger structure, and hopefully they would find safety there. Well, on the way there, a coconut tree snapped off and crushed their entire family. And unfortunately, Mirasol got the brunt of it. She got a severe head injury. They took her to the local hospital, which really couldn't do a lot for her. They said she really needs to get to Puerto Princesa, the capital city. The problem is all the bridges are out and there's trees down on the road and there's no way we can get her down there. And so the pastor said, well, the ocean's only about 45 minutes away. Let's go out there. He commandeered a outrigger canoe and took her on a 5-hour boat ride, took her the long way around and got her to the hospital. And Mirasol was unconscious for about 3 weeks, had to do brain surgery and get the blood off of her brain. And so she was standing there telling me her story. And I said, so are you back in school? And she said, yeah. And I said, do you have any, you know, ongoing effects, you know, mentally or physically? She said, well, my back hurts some, but that's about it. She said, but you know, the funniest thing was when I woke up, the first thing that came to my mind was, I'm going to be late for school. And so, again, you know, just hearing those stories. And each village we went to, I thought, gosh, this next village can't be any better. I mean, the experiences here have just been mind-blowing. And so, and every village was unique, unique experiences, unique stories that we heard. So we went to our last village, the hardest hike up to Nanabo. It was about 5.5 hours on the back of a dirt bike. It had been raining for a couple of days, so we were all over the place on the dirt bike. Fortunately, I had a good driver, and so I know which driver I'm getting when I go back. And so we got up there, and they said, well, this is as far as we can go because the rivers are too deep for us to cross with the motorcycle. So we crossed 18 rivers to get up in another 5-hour hike to the village of Nanabo. And again, that was also the Batak tribe. And so we attended their church anniversary. We wanted to, they wanted us to have another mass wedding for them. And so we did that, but just being able to get to know them, get to know their culture. I mean, they're hunter gatherers. They live off the land. Was speaking with a little girl named Gracelyn, cute as she could be. She's probably about 8 and she's in our sponsorship program and was just telling me that she wanted to be a doctor when she grew up and, you know, telling me, you know, what her favorite subject in school was. And she said, you know, my mom was also a sponsored child. Her name is Edelyn, and Edelyn was there as well. And Edelyn started into our program at about 8 years old and got married early, left the program, stayed in the church, stayed in the community. And now her mother is our project coordinator that coordinates all of our sponsored kids in that area. I mean, when we arrived in the village, we were met by the tribal chieftain at 10 o'clock at night because there's 80 families in the village and about 72 of them are in our sponsorship program. And so he knows how much we care and love and are invested in that community. So my, you know, my heart is so full, and it's just been hard for me to harness all the stories that I wanted to tell and to look at the hope in these kids' eyes and the potential that they have and the opportunity that they have to someday rise above their circumstances with people, you know, oftentimes in America that are extending help. And so I've got just a short video before I close, if we could show that. And I just kind of put some pictures to music because I didn't have time to put my thoughts all together.
If I were you, I would have given up on me by now. I would have labeled me a lost cause, 'cause I feel just like a lost cause. If I were you, I would have turned around and walked away. I would have labeled me beyond repair, 'cause I feel like I'm beyond repair. Oh, but somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. When the whole world walks away, you're the God who stands with wide open arms. And you tell me nothing I have ever done could separate my heart from the God who stays. I used to hide every time I thought I let you down. Always thought I had to earn my way. But I'm learning you don't work that way, no. Cause somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. When the whole world walks away, you're the God who stands with wide.
Jungle Hike, there were two verses that I couldn't get off my mind. One was when James, the brother of Jesus, was writing this letter to Jewish Christians and emphasizing how our faith should work and how it should look like in daily life. And he said in James 2, 14 through 17, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead." You know, James knew that faith was something that we do. It's practical. And the other verse in 1 Timothy 6:8, where it says, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share." You know, compared to the people that I've spent the last 3 weeks with, we're all rich. You know, if you woke up this morning and had the privilege of deciding which pair of shoes to put on, then you're rich. If you had more than one coat, then you're rich. And we all drove to church, so we're rich. And so they weren't complaining about the internet speed in these villages because they didn't have internet. One little boy, it was funny. I went up there and I was blown away. His name was Kairos. And I said, "How did you learn English? I mean, he had perfect English." And he said, "YouTube." And I said, "Okay, second question, where'd you get YouTube? Because I don't have any signal up here. And he said, well, when my mom goes down to the city, she downloads videos for me, and I learned English by studying the YouTube videos. And so two observations that I had there, because, you know, when you go on trips like this, and I know that any of you that have been on mission trips, I know Pastor Kurt saw this and the Stout saw this, is that you're just kind of inundated with needs of things. Wow, you know, we could do that. We could be a part of that. That, you know, that's simple. And there is, and there's a lot of ways. And there's, I know that you guys are already involved in a lot, but I just kind of want to put two things out there, you know, of our kids in the sponsorship program that are from these three jungle partners. We have about 80 of these kids that still need sponsors. And so we have their bios in the back. And if you want to be a part of that, it's $40 a month. That actually goes through another agency that we partner with, but we can get all the paperwork to them. But the other thing that I saw was the first partner we went to, they had about 18 young people that had volunteered from various parts of the Philippines and were living there. And they were committed to serve the tribal people. One girl had gotten her undergraduate in education, her master's in education, went and did another 2 years in music. And then she's up there teaching preschool kids music classes in a tribal school. And all of them are up there by faith. You know, when they live together, they eat together. We sat down and ate with them together. When they have, they share. And I thought, you know, how awesome would it be to get some more funding behind these young people that are jungle missionaries? And so we have those bios up there on the bottom row up there that for $50 a month. And we'll, you know, the $50 that you send through us will be $50 when it hits them, because we're going to continue to be a part of them and help them out. And so thank you for everything. Thank you for the opportunity for being able to present today and to share our heart. Thank you for the years of partnership. We apologize it's taken us so long to get back here. And but I don't want you to walk away today thinking, wow, look at what the Tilkas did, you know, because it's not that. But it's, look at what we were able to do as a church through the Tilkas to reach people that we'll probably never meet one day. And look what God did. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us. And we love you so much, but it's nothing compared to the love that you showed us when you sent your son to die on the cross for us, Lord. And you know, you tell us that that anywhere we go, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of things at home, and opportunities abroad, that we're to be salt and light wherever we go. Lord, help us to have that at the forefront of our mind. Help us to be willing to share, be willing to help. And Lord, just thank you for all our wonderful friends here at Walnut Grove. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lewis. Nancy, Sarah Lee, you want to come up for our closing hymn? And while they're coming up, in the back, you see the two rows of sponsorships. Feel free to pick out a child or a missionary, and if you are interested in doing that. Let's all stand, and we're going to sing Blessed Assurance, I believe, isn't it? Mm-hmm. One number